Tyria Tess, we are now going forward to the third section of the Torahs that we've been learning together. The first 15 were Chidushim Niflam V'Nairam Amamari Rabba Barachana. Then we had Torah 16, 17, and 18, which were the Ma'amore Mishtoi, which it seems at the last paragraph, at the end of last week, we said that there's going to be a couple more in the Tinyan and another section of Likut Meran. And now we're going to explore the next four Torahs, certain statements from the Sifrid Ditzniusa. The Sifrid Ditzniusa is actually five different prakim in the Zaire, a section that's in Parshas Truma. Over here we're only discussing four. There was actually another statement from the Sifrid Ditzniusa that we explored in Torah Beis. I'm going to this Torah. I don't think is the easiest. I don't know if people are starting off joining us over here or heard some of the earlier Torahs, so it's an interesting place to be jumping in, although wherever we're at. So I'm going to be relying relatively heavily the primary Likut Maran that I rely on very heavily is the four volume one from Rabbi Eliyahu Atiya, and also I have others. I'll use Rav Chaim Kramer's note. I'll try to mention where I'm getting anything from, but certainly relying heavily on them. In the note over here, Rabbi Atiya mentions that a lot of the concepts are abstract. We're not necessarily going to be familiar with them, but we're going to try to explore them to the extent that we can get something out of it and ground it in avoda, some of these very lofty concepts. He mentions Rav Shimon Bar Yochai when he was compiling or different sections of the Zayar, he says that there's certain parts, like the same way that we have the Mishnah, Tarshish Baal Peh, and then we have the Gemara, flesh it out. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai also explained certain inyanim in the Sifrid Ditzniusa, which interestingly, the name, by the way, comes from Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Beis, says, Ves Tznuim Chachma, with modest is the wisdom, not to be Megala Chachma, other than to those who are Tznuah B'maisav. So it's incredibly obscure. It's what we're going to be talking about when the Sifrid Ditzniusa in general, and he points out over here that the three Idras, is Idra Rabba, Idra Zuta, and the Idra de Mishkana, these are like the Gemara on the Sifrid Ditzniusa. So again, these are five prakim. They're connected to Chamisha Chamshei Taira. He brings over here also connected the Chamisha Partzufei of Atzilus. We've mentioned the idea of Sphiris and Partzufim as part of our other discussion. We're not going to talk about it right this second. But suffice it to say that the prakim of Sifrid Ditzniusa, a certain section of the Zayar, is the secrets of the secrets, even within the Zayar, which is already Nistar, but even certain portions of the Zayar, like the Mishnah to the Gemara, the Nigla to the Nistar, the Sifrid Ditzniusa is very much like that. Now, Rav Chaim Kramer points out that this Torah was given in Shavuos, 5564 of the Hebrew date, or Wednesday, May 16th, 1804. Okay, so that places the time, and he frames out some of the themes, things that are very critical, very fundamental. Again, not the way we're going to be starting to jump in. Some of the Torahs that are longer, the concepts that get fleshed out in the Torahs really are inherent all the way in the beginning in the first statements of each Torah. Some of the Torahs that are longer sometimes take a little bit longer to develop as you lay out all of the points and then begin tying them together. The way that Rav Chaim Kramer lays it out, the concepts that we're going to be discussing are hearing Torah directly from the Tzaddik. So we discussed the part of what we're going to talk about over here really relates to things that we said in Torah Dalid and others about seeing the face of a tzaddik and giving the tzaddik tzedakah, and so forth. Hearing Torah directly from the tzaddik, we're going to be talking about Lashon HaKodesh, which we spoke about a little bit actually in last Torah, the Aleph Beis being the building blocks of the world, although we'll talk about Lashon HaKodesh even in a broader context of just the Lashon HaKodesh Hebrew itself. But Lashon HaKodesh, talk also about Tikkun HaBris and the relationship between Tikkun HaBris and Tikkun and rectifying of one's speech, as well as Chachma and eating and Yiras Shemayim. We're also going to touch on the creation of Adam and Chava, as well as the Chait of the Eitz Adas and Yosef's stay in Mitzrayim. Even though the Yontif of Shavuos is not mentioned explicitly, there's going to be concepts that are intertwined in what we're talking about, so it's going to be an incredible Torah as we start to explore it together. He starts off Isa B'Sifrid Ditzniusa, Pirka kad, Torah test Tefila leChavakuk Hanavi al Shigyanos. So the pasuk that we start off with is pasuk in Chavakuk. Vidhir points out that this is a tefila that Chavakuk Hanavi was davening when it was nizgala to him this idea, nevuah of the arichas apayim, the we'll translate it for now as patience, but it's deeper than that. But that the arichas apayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Rishaim, that he gives them the time, the space that that if they would do tshuva, so then they would have mechila, and there's dainais, their intentional averis will be converted for these purposes into Shkagais, okay, based on a Rashi on the Targum and Metzudais. Isa b'Sifra Ditzniusa, so we're going to bring one of the Ma'amarim from Sifra Ditzniusa, Pirka Kadma in the first Perek, Ad Lohavi Miskala, until there was a Miskala, as long as there was no scale, Lohavi Mashkichan Apin Ba'apin. I'm going to mention very briefly an idea, and we're really just going to save it for later to explore, because the Torah is going to really jump in, not going directly on this, and we'll come back to it later. But at least just to explain in very, very broad terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and the idea is that we're supposed to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there's a infinite gap between the infinity, so to speak, between Ein Sofius and between where we are. So there's a whole system of Hishtalshalos, of the Sefiris and Partzufim, things that we've touched on before, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created entire systems and Olamais all the way from the initial Yesh Me'ayin and the initial initial Tzimtzum and creation of something that would be the initial seeds of a Bria, and developing and developing and becoming more and more gas in certain ways, that A relates to B, to C, to D, to E, until we get to us, so that we have a bridge, we have a way that we are able to relate to things beyond us and have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In terms of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so we talk in terms of spheres, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates us to the spheres. These are like the building blocks. I think Rav Avinoam Frankel, I heard, mentioned the relationship between spheres and partzufim as data to information, right? In other words, something along those lines. There's the building blocks, there's the spheres, and partzufim are like a relationship. So if you have an eye and a nose and a forehead, every single one of these stands on its own. But when you have a face, so then each one of the parts as relates to the entire structure, so then it has its place there. Now, when we usually, but if one has ever seen one of these charts of the spheres, one will see that there's Keser, Chachma, Bina, or Chachma, Bina, and Das, and then Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and it'll be in sort of a shape where it lines up, so that there's spheres that line up on the right, Chesed, Netzach, and Hod, and then there are the spheres that are going to be on the left, and then there's spheres in the middle, which are going to be Das, and or Tiferes, Yesod, and Malchus, and go down the line, and sometimes it's like a chart, and this expresses the relationship between the spheres, so that we usually think about Chesed as being represented on the right, and Gvura on the left, and then you have the Mamutza, and you have the line in the middle. That relationship, he's referring to over here, as being the miskala, the scale. It's like there's something in the middle, and then there's sort of like, think about like a pan scale. There's something in the middle, and then there's something in the right, and something on the left. The way that, so therefore, that gives us a hechatimtza, it gives us a way of avod, it gives us a way of tikkun. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the spheres were not initially rolled out, so to speak. Again, very, very high level. To whatever level, I don't even know that I'm ready to speak about it. These spheres were not rolled out in this shape or form. Again, we think in shapes just so that we have something to talk about. Obviously, everything is just totally b'tayrus mashal. It wasn't rolled out in this relationship. It was rolled out initially in chad samcha. So it was more of a... There's a difference between the first three spheres, Keser, Chachma, and Bina, and then the next ones. But essentially, all those spheres of Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus were not rolled out in this relationship in order to have a relatable tikkun and avoda, but rather they started off in a linear fashion, and then there was a stage called the Shefiras HaKelim, and then when they built back up in this relationship in order to give us avoda. If that doesn't make any sense to us now, that's okay. But the point is that once it was in this form, this shape, this relationship where there was Navoda, it allowed the function of Yichudim and Zivugim in order for there to be some sort of productive Avoda and to affect some sort of Tikkun. We're going to come back to all of that. So for now, we're going to suffice it to say that until there was this miskal, until there was this relationship and how we're able to relate to these spiritual ideas, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us and affect our avodah, and affect this form of tikkun, lo hava mashkan apin ba'apin, there wasn't a relationship of face-to-face. Again, Kabbalistic term, the description, the translation of face-to-face doesn't mean anything other than to say that when two things are facing each other, that gives a hecha timtza for a yichud, for these two ideas to get together. There's a mashpia makabel, they can form a shlemus, and then they can have a productive relationship. The idea of having this avoda and being able to affect these yichudim only happened after that stage of where the spheres had this relationship and not before. Now let's take a step back, jump into the Torah Me'aschala, and see where we go with it. We're going to do our best. It says paragraph Aleph in Likutei Maran. We're now going to explain why is it that there is a reason to travel to a tzaddik. I can stay at home, especially with travel being difficult. People might miss minyanim. There might be an element of bittul Torah. Certainly, there's a tzad to say, should I sacrifice Torah and growth in order to go to the tzaddik? I could stay here. I have my sefer. We have our shiurim. What benefit is there of going to the tzaddik? Ki kasha leha olam. People have a question. Al mat zaruch lensoya leha tzaddik lishmaya mipiv. Why should I travel all the way to the tzaddik, giving up seemingly all of the spiritual growth, all of the avoda that I can have, very tough trip, to go here directly from a tzaddik? Halei ef shela'ayim besfarim divrei musar. I can, right now, we're learning sfarim. Ach be'emes hu te'eles gadol. There's actually an incredible te'eles of going to the tzaddik. Ki yesh chiluk gadol bein ha'shemeh mipi ha'tzaddik ke'emes ba'atzmo, ubein ha'shemeh mipi acher ha'oimer b'shmoy. Mikol shekin k'shemeh mipi sheshama mipi ha'shemeya. Ki yoyer b'chol ha... Pam midarga ledarga. Now, so literally says that there's a difference between one who hears directly from the tzaddik, directly from the source. The tzaddik is a living Torah with his level of his spotless. The tzaddik embodies the personality is literally that he incorporates Ratzon Hashem, so that the tzaddik is at the highest level. This is the medium through which we are able to connect. This is a godly person. When somebody is able to go to the tzaddik, and we're going to explore that more in a second, that has one impact on a person. When a second person visits the tzaddik and he's makabel from the tzaddik, and then that person who himself is not on that level, but that person goes and gives it over to a third, when the third person receives it, there's something missing in the transmission, there's something missing in the translation, in the giving over the ideas, giving over the growth, giving over the avoda, and whatever can be accomplished by receiving from a tzaddik. There's a big difference between having that direct relationship with the tzaddik and then even the second one. Certainly, and this, this I think any of us can relate to, there's a difference between experience something oneself, and even if you can give it over in incredibly vivid terms and incredibly accurate description, if I experience something and then I get you excited about it, I tell it over, but I convey my experience to you, there's a very, very big difference between the person who experienced it himself and the one who heard it over. So now you could think that the tzaddik is the ultimate, experiencing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the tzaddik, to the extent that this is our medium with which to connect within, the human realm to somebody who is the embodiment of a living sefer Torah, Talmid Chacham, a tzaddik, gadol adar. When we encounter the tzaddik, that's one experience. When another person receives from the tzaddik and gives it over, that is not the same experience. And when then that person gives it over, so it goes down in levels. And therefore, to the extent that there's what to be gained from encountering the tzaddik, aside from just what he has to give over and the Torah that he has to give over, this experience is not replicated by encountering the tzaddik's talmidim or those who receive from tzaddik. It's much better than anything down the line, and we'll see. Even there's an element of that that's better from reading the sfarim, which is the sfarim that we're learning right now. So So there's definitely a benefit that is not replicatable, not just in terms of the ideas and the chidushim of the tzaddik by visiting the tzaddik. We don't yet know what that is. So again, mipishmeik yod b'chol pam midarga l'daga rochak mipia tzadik v'chein ben hashemeh mipia tzadik l'mayin b'sefer, and even one who's reading the ideas, the musar that the tzadik says, u'chilik gadol b'yoser, it's even further removed. It's really translating from what the experience of it is and what the ideas are. Now, I guess what one could say is that when we are learning the ideas of a tzaddik, what we're doing is we're trying through to put our mind to connect with these ideas such that it's going to touch us and we're going to have an experience. But in terms of reading the words of somebody else, the ideas, that's lacking this idea of transmitting the experience. Now, some of these ideas are going to, it says over here in another title, and Tinyana, Tara Samach Vav. So Be'ez Hashem will get there, but we did discuss in Tara Dalet, I'm just going to pull out the Kitzel Likut Maran for a second, just so that we can remind ourselves. We talked about the idea of saying Vidui in front of the Tzaddik and having one's path clarified, being able to attach oneself to one's own Avodah through connecting with the Tzaddik, and we explained three different ideas in connecting with the Tzaddik. We talked about just seeing the tzaddik, which right now we're actually going to focus on that, as well as giving tzedakah, and then the different ideas that a person would be able to rectify themselves through, one, seeing a tzaddik, and number two, giving a tzaddik tzedakah, as well as saying vidui in front of a tzaddik, where the tzaddik, the Talmid Chacham, would be able to direct him on the right path for him and clarify what he has to work on, what his areas of tikkun are. So that's definitely a Torah worth going back to for some of these ideas. But in any event, Perek Beis, some of the benefits of being by a tzaddik, and also of looking at the tzaddik, ki tzarech lizakech es hapanim, sheyuchal kol echad liras es panav. Now, there's a little bit of a difference in the girsa here. The way that our text says, we're going to be talking about any individual, like we're all trying to purify ourselves to the extent possible, any individual purifying his panim so that his own face, as it were, shines like a mirror. Other manuscripts focus more on the idea that only the tzaddik is the one who has this shining face, as it were. I know it sounds a little bit out there, but we'll try to ground it. And that the only way to encounter this idea is when one comes face to face with the tzaddik. But Eich Sheyihyeh, this is the idea that when one purifies himself to this degree, so then their face shines out. In other words, what's a face? A face is a face is a personality. There's a facial expression. Whether it's dealing with other people in the context of chinuch, in the context of a business relationship, of an interview, there's an entire studies of thought in terms of body language and in terms of facial expressions, tell whether the person's telling the truth or lying, what they think about. When a person is kol kulay Ratzon Hashem, kol kulay Taira, so then what is it that their face represents? Their face, and again, this is my understanding, their face essentially represents MS, Tayeles. If I am going to somebody else, and again, and we're not going to talk about it, at least right now, I don't know, later in the Torah, about saying vidu in front of the Talmud Chacham, but when I'm going to connect to another personality, somebody who's going to take an interest in me, somebody who's going to empathize with me, and their personality, their look is kol kulay Taira, kol kulay Emes, kol kulay Ratzon Hashem, and they are going to relate to me on a personal level, so then I am literally going to, this, again, unique, you were talking about Yechidim Shevedar, I am going to be able to reflect back on myself to understand the tachlis, the te'elis of what a human being can be, of what a mensch can be, of what an adam can be, and even without any specific musar, this is really the maila, you know, not any specific acts. When we talk about, let's say, gedolim biographies as basically Musar Sfarim, it's not, a lot of the acts are simen and not sibo. It's not a matter of any, when we talk about a lot of the stories or things that these individuals, some of them, you know, achieving on, they're basically malachim on earth, but some of the things that these people did, this batlus, the way that they were mevatel themselves to the tzibur, they just put themselves out, You can't replicate that because you're not holding there. For you, it would be a charade. These are just simanim. They're statements of where they were holding. I think an example that I've used before, I didn't read it inside, but somebody told over that a particular gadol, when he was so conscious of certain things, when he would boil an egg, so then he would end up using the water for his coffee. Okay, to us, that doesn't even sound like a regular hanhaga. It didn't occur to him. He wasn't going to waste the water, you know, from his background, where he was from. There was a value for resources. There was no reason not to use it. It didn't occur to him to be wasteful. Whatever it represented on his level, which is totally beyond us, if I say, I'm going to be a gadol, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to start using the water from the hard-boiled egg for my coffee, that makes no sense. That's not going to get me anywhere. It's just going to be too divorced from my personality for any real growth. And if anything, I'm just going to be fooling myself and others. And at worst, it's just going to be totally silly. But when you have a person that you have all these statements and it builds up into a person that doesn't live for himself, he doesn't even identify with his own personality. He identifies with Ratzon Hashem, and then he's able to empathize with me. Somebody recently told me that they were having a conversation with an incredible Adam Gadol Adma Od, and they had a previous engagement with the person, but it was years later, and they called because they were going through a particular time, you know, with whatever it was, Shalom Bayis, children. They called the person and they started to describe what they were going through. This Adam Gadol, who at his time was maybe in his 70s, started to speak back, related a similar experience that he had early on in his marriage, and started crying on the phone out of empathy for the person that he was speaking to, making him feel that it was an entirely human experience, that it was an entirely human experience, and that it was a safety zone, that the gadol knew what he was going through, and the entire load of the person just was, you know, it wasn't self-conscious, it wasn't anything. When a person encounters a gadol, when a person encounters a person whose face, his personality, the encounter is totally kalkulei ratzon Hashem, tzarech lezakech es ha'panim sheyuchal kol echad lirois es panav, a person should purify his own face, or again, depending on the gear, so the tzaddik does this, that anybody would be able to see his face, b'panim shalai, that a person can, it's a reflecting, it's a mirror. I see this tayelis, I see this living statement of tachlis, k'moy b'mara, as if I'm looking in a mirror, I see the tzaddik, and I see the ruchnius, I see my rutzen shining back at me, what I have to work on. I'm able to see his potential is different than my potential, but I'm able to see a statement of pure potential and relate it to my own self, without, you know, all of a sudden, all my other ideas, excuses, etc., melt away. It could be that it is a gears and not gears, again, depending whether we're talking one person looking at a tzaddik, one person looking at another. Only that he's looking at this face of the tzaddik, the one who's purified his face to such a degree, through looking at the tzaddik's face, it's as if he's looking at the pure statement of the Shema, and he reflects it back in himself, and he realizes he can't even understand, you know, what's holding me back. He's able to really identify the R versus the Chayshech, and relate that to himself in a meaningful way. He's going to understand what it is that got in the way, what the foolishness of his own deeds and things that he has to work on. Now, paragraph Gimel. So we're now going to speak about the tzaddik. The concept of seeing oneself in the face of a tzaddik is not going to be mentioned again until much later on in the Torah, Chaim Kramer points out. But actually, we're going to shift now into explaining how the tzaddik goes about attaining this shining countenance, how the tzaddik, the person, goes about attaining this idea of the zikuch in his face and his panim. And then we're going to eventually return to the topic and the necessity, the value of hearing Torah directly from a tzaddik. So, paragraph Gimel. So, where is it that a tzaddik is able to attain this purity, this face? This is going to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, or it's going to relate to Lashon HaKodesh. Rav Chaim Kramer in the note points out, again, the idea of Lashon HaKodesh. We're going to speak more, but he brings from some of the Mefarshim that it's not only Lashon HaKodesh, it's the idea of purity of speech. So for some, that might express itself in using his own words and his own language, but working on the purity of speech, no Lashon Hara, not expressing oneself in anger, talking his Baididus, talking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, words that are associated with Torah and Mitzvahs and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, certainly the purest expression of that is going to be Lashon HaKodesh. You know what? I'm going to mention one idea, but not to go too off topic, but only because I think that it helps. It's a shiur that I heard from Von Lopiansky, recorded, and he was talking about something else. He was talking about a machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban about I think it's a Ramban and Kisisa. But it talks about Lashon HaKodesh. But why is Lashon HaKodesh called Lashon HaKodesh? And one of the opinions is, I think this is the Rambam, that there are no inappropriate Lashonis in Lashon HaKodesh. The way that we even, sometimes you'll see a Lashon of Davar Acher, right? There's no Lashonis for Mishkal. There's no Lashonis for things that would seem to be certain types of tumah within the language itself. So, as Ravon Lopiansky, and this jumps out at any of us, that the truth is that words attain meaning through usage. If you think about words that we relate to as inappropriate words in our own language, a lot of the words don't be'etzem mean anything. It's a certain word designation. Sometimes those words were even innovated as a nice way of referring to something, and then over time, since that word become associated with a negative concept, then the word took on a negative meaning. So what does it mean that, well, the language is inherently, in other words, you're saying Lashon HaKodesh, something inherently Kodesh about the language because there's no words that relate to certain types of ideas. So give it time, and then those words will be associated with, with other ideas. And he explained, and this is going to be helpful, I think, as we continue on, that language creates it's fit for, and it also creates a structure in how you think about certain things, but it's fit for some things. So the example that I believe he gave is, maybe it was in the 70s, I could really look it up, there was a time that America was going to move over to the metric system. So if this is the way that I remembered, if I'm misquoting then I apologize, but the idea is true, even if the story is a little bit off, that America was going to switch, the US was going to switch over to the metric system. So it says the things being, you know, inches, and then there's it's 12 inches to a foot, and then, you know, it's we were going to switch over to things being in decimal. There was going to be centimeters, you know, meters, and things would be in a system of 10. It would relate to the rest of the world, and things being in a system of decimals and tens would be much easier. But what was the problem? The problem was that all of the, you know, anything from telephone poles to the machinery, anything that already had a system where it was measured in the old way of doing things, or the nature of how big a screw, it's a 1-inch screw, a 2-inch screw, a 1.5-inch screw, if you would convert that into the decimal system, then it wouldn't be clean anymore. It would be, you know, 1.68 centimeters. It would just become incredibly confusing. So what we're saying is that in order to have a system that works, the language, the measurements have to relate to what it is that you're talking about. Lashon HaKodesh is a language that's fit for Kedusha. If you were going to talk about things that were Tumah, the language itself doesn't fit. Lashon HaKodesh is inherently a language that lines up with Torah, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with MS, with Divrei Kedusha. And therefore, it's true, you could retrofit it. You could take words from Lashon HaKodesh and apply them to a concept in order to have a point of reference for something that's not inherently Kodesh. But the language of Lashon HaKodesh is not fit for something that's not Kedusha. Now, I'm going to leave it there for now. I want to jump back into the Torah, and then I want to flesh this idea out a little bit more. So he says, paragraph Gimel, Ki Goydel... Ki goydel yikar ha'erech, the value, shalashna kodesh, sheboi nivra ha'aylam, that that Lashon HaKodesh was created, that the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh. We saw in Torah Yud Ches, paragraph 5, if I can just swing there for a second, we talked about, I think it was, we said from Sefer Yetzira, Shlesha Avonim Boinai Shishabatim, we talked about Avonim, we talked about the stones, the building blocks, and we said that those were the letters of the letters, and we spoke in many earlier Torahs about the letters and the Nekudais really representing really representing different ideas in the Bria and being the makeup of what we have around us. So this, the value of Lashon HaKodesh, Shebo Nivra HaOlam, is that the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh. K'maimer Chachamim Zechorna Levracha, Lezos Yikarei Isha, Kimei Ish Lukacha Zeis. This is brought, it's a medrash that's already brought by Rashi, going to, back to Parshas Bereishis, that this is why Isha was called, why is a woman, why is an Isha called an Isha? Because she was taken from an Ish, Lashon, Neifel HaLashon, which loosely means that it's a play on words, although we'll see the panemius of this statement of Lashon, Neifel HaLashon, Mikan Shenivra Olam B'Lashon HaKodesh, that in other languages an Isha is not necessarily called such a similar word to an Ish and an Isha, right, to the extent that we say Ish and Isha is both, without, an Ish has a Yud, and an Isha has a Hey, and it, so if you put the Yud and the K together, so then you have Ish, and an Isha, you have a Shalom Bayis, if you take out the Yud and the K, there's Ish. Okay, but you have the Isha and the Isha are especially, you know, with HaKadosh Baruch in it, but the language is so similar because they're be'etzem the same. Adam was giving names to different things in the Bria. Adam gave the name Isha to an Ish. Why? Why? Because this in Lashon HaKodesh, an Isha was called such a similar word, because a woman is be'etzem similar to a man, or at least in the fact that they're both, you know, two sides of the same coin, that together they create the Shlemus. We know that Adam was created as one, and then split up, in the Gemara talks about it in different ways, split up into a man and a woman to show that really be'etzem together they're a shlemus, and then and then they were split up, that each one has their role in life. But the fact that Adam read that in Lashon HaKodesh, Isha and Isha are so similar is because be'etzem they were coming from one Bria, and that shows that since we, like we discussed in last week, I think, that the idea that the letters and the words are the building blocks of the world, so this is indicative of the idea that the world was created in Lashon HaKodesh, that it lines up, that Ish and Isha are really betzim the same thing, that reflects itself in the language. So that this language, this Lashon HaKodesh, these letters and words that are really betzim the building blocks of creation, that the Chaf Beis Isis, that the Hestakel Baraisa Bara Alma, these words that are the Aleph Beis of the Torah itself, this really ties in much deeper if you take a step back in your Mizbainain, except we're going to move on now, the idea that the Torah really be'etzem represents, that the Torah is MS, and that the world really be'etzem is there as an expression of MS. Everything else, okay, so in the short term, we have the Koyachas HaTumah and the Koyachas HaRab, because we have challenges, and we have to beat those challenges so that we can have Schar, but the truth is that everything else is really just a distortion. It's a retrofit, it's a distortion from the concepts and the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world, that now makes it seem like there's a facade, that there's an alternate reality, an alternate system of values. The truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS, the Torah is MS. The words Lashon HaKodesh be'etzem is designed. That's why it's Lashon HaKodesh. There's no real room for anything else other than to distort it and to sort of like retrofit it, which again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had his reasons why there's Ra in the world, and there's Koyachas HaTumah, and there's the Yetzer Hara, and there's a Satan, and the Nachash, and the Chet HaRishon, and all of this. So it gives us a makom for Avodah to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is in line with what we're saying. V'zeh b'chinas Chava. Now, if this is an Isha and Isha, where does Chava come from? What are we giving her other names for? B'chinas V'layla l'layla yichave. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Yom liyom bi'aymer v'layla l'layla yichave das. The word yichave that is a remez to the idea of yichave to relate is dibur. which means, so what we're getting just from that pasuk in Tehillim is that the Lashon of Yechaveh, which is the same Lashon of Chaveh, relates also to Lashon HaKadosh. So what we have over here is the idea of Isha compared to Nish. That's showing the idea of that the world was created with Lashon HaKadosh, the building blocks of the world. This idea of Yechaveh is also relating to the idea of Dibur, which we see from the usage of the word in this pasuk in Tehillim. And therefore, Hani Bechinas HaDibur Shel Lashon HaKadosh Shebay Nivra HaOlam, so that the name Chaveh and the name Isha are really coming from one inyan, which is showing us that Lashon HaKadosh is the language, the building blocks that the world was created from. Vizeh, this idea that the name Isha and Chava are expressions and relating to Lashon HaKadosh, Bechinas Lezos Yikare Isha Zois is Hainu HaDibor, the Kamay Vizois Asher Dibor Lahem. So we see that the word Zois relates to Dibor. So Adam was giving a reason, why is he calling this woman Isha? Because of Zeis is a Bechina of Dibor, V'Zeis Yikare Isha, because of Zeis, because of Lashon HaKadosh, I'm giving the name Isha to express that Isha and Isha are coming from the same thing, to show through the expression of Lashon HaKadosh, this was the world that the language, the building blocks that the world was created from. Valide Lashon HaKadosh. So through a person using the idea of Lashon HaKadosh, again, you know, like what's a language if nobody speaks it? In other words, the language, literally, besides for a language being representative of what it's talking about, the language also shapes our thoughts, right? A language is fit for something. I think they say, I don't know if it's true, that Eskimos have, like, you know, seven words for snow or ice, right? We have Gilarina, Ditsa, Vechedva. Lashon HaKadosh has, you know, multiple words for the idea of Simcha. Whatever subtleties are in a particular culture are also are expressed in the language, and then because of the way that you when you learn to speak, and then you take on an understanding and a sensitivity for the subtlety to language, that's also actually going to provide you for different ways of thinking about something. So really, the idea of Lashon HaKadosh, learning Lashon HaKadosh, again, one of the Mefarshim talks about using language in general for Kedusha, and that would also be subsumed within this idea of Lashon HaKadosh, but it's not what we're focusing on right this second. Valide Lashon HaKadosh, through this, Raimimanu Mikol HaLashonos, right? We have in our Tefillah, Tarvach HaTanu Mikol HaAm, Mahavto HaSan, Ratzi Sabanu, Ramam Tanu Mikol HaLashonos. Ramam Tanu Mikol HaLashonos is not just, I mean, it seems sort of like, you know, arbitrary. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us, and he raised us up from the other languages. That's what we have to focus on. It's a nicer language, it's a cleaner language, but now we're saying that the Lashon is both a simon and almost a siba itself. It's the indicative of, and almost it goes into the cause itself of a culture of how a person, you know, how people relate to each other, to the world. You know, even different languages have different sounds. Some languages are, you know, more romantic sounding, some are gruffer sounding. It literally almost like forms a person's mentality, maybe. So he says, Ramona Mikola Lashonos, Shekola Lashonos Amim Noiflim Ayde Lashon HaKadosh. That the other languages, we said before, Lashon Noifel al Lashon, we related to that as saying it's a figure of speech, that one language falls, it matches up to the other one. Over here we're saying that the other Lashonos, the other languages / cultures, fall to Lashon HaKadosh. Now, given the way that we've been talking about this, this sits very well. It makes sense. Why? Because when you have truth, and you have the building block of what, you know, the true language that matches up to the architecture of the world and Ratzon Hashem, so everything else is really a facade. It's representative of other cultures and other ideas, which are really just distortions of truth. Again, there's a reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the other languages and other cultures and gullus and things that we have to go through in order to achieve our tachlis and tayelas. However, at its core, when things, similarly, we said that when a person meets up with the tzaddik, when somebody encounters pure truth, everything else falls away. So the Lashon HaKadosh is much more raised up. It's on another level. It's another tier. It's much more attached to the core, to the core, the root of creation, than any of the other languages or cultures. Hainu sheharashi yesh lahalashon shel uma achizabai, that the other negative character traits and elements of the culture of other peoples, all of those nizbatel v'noifel al yidei lashon hakodesh ve'ein lo shlita al Yisrael, and therefore klal Yisrael, if we're plugged in doing what we're supposed to be doing, there's no achiza, there's no attachment point of anything else. If you know an example that I've used many times before, but I continue to use again because it makes sense to me. If we and you can have a discussion about the right approach to a problem, but once you arrive at the idea that you truly understand, 2 plus 2 is 4, so then now if somebody else comes and they start having an argument, well, 2 plus 2 is 5, it's not that we have an argument and you win. The other position falls away. If you understand the building blocks of truth and of the world, so then somebody says, oh no, that's not important. Beauty, abstract art, that's really an expression of beauty. Tyre is an expression of beauty. Somebody throwing paint at a wall and coming up in some sort of a weird picture, that's an expression of beauty because you have to train yourself to look at this. I guess you can twist yourself into a pretzel and see some sort of a beauty in something else, but like, why would I want to? All of that is fake. I'm just sort of like coming up with a different framework for anything. If it's not tied into MS, it's irrelevant. And therefore, once we're plugged into truth, ein lo shlita al Yisrael, v'zeh b'chinas lashon neifel al lashon, that the ra of the other umos falls to lashon hakodesh, falls to klal Yisrael. V'ra koilel. So now taking a step back. So there's a certain ra, a certain negative character trait, a certain negative culture to all these different things, and there's 70 nations, and Lashon HaKodesh is really the truth. It's a different. It's not just another language. We're not Chas V'Shalom the 71st nation. We are raised. We're in a different tier. We're just totally at the top of the pyramid, and everything else is some element, some distortion of language, of culture, of truth, and we're different. Is there anything that are each one of these things just hand to hand combat all over the place, or is there some thread that ties together that's incorporated within, inclusive of all an expression of all of the negative distortions through everything? V'hara ha-koylel, the universal, the comprehensive ra, right? Even if we think about it, if I was going to ask you, what desire encompasses the idea? You have a desire for this, X, and you have a desire for Y. What expresses a universal desire? An intellectual way, there's avodah zara, where your thoughts are just off. Kas is where you're just out of control because something didn't meet your expectations. What desire? I know the right thing. What desire is it that when I engage in that desire, it's so burning within me that even for a few moments of pleasure, everything goes out the window. Every other priority in life is all of a sudden takes a back seat to just feeding a burning desire. The haraha koilel shekolaro shel shivim lashon klulin bay. Again, it's universal, it's comprehensive. The hainu tav'eiras hamadura. This lashon is coming from a quote from the Zayar, but it's this burning bonfire shel taivas niyof. It's the sexual urge. That becomes the ra ha-kailel. Now the we're going to read from Rav Chaim Kramer's note over here. He says lashon ha-kodesh subdues immorality. Now, really, the only thing that could really, if a person really, really had truth, right? That's the only thing plugged in so that let's use a little bit of a mashal. See if it helps us think about it. And if it's not, then don't worry about it. Let's assume that a person had a tremendous taiva for a particular woman. I think I've used the mashal before. A taiva for a particular woman, and he's literally, his business is suffering, his relationships are suffering. He has a taiva for this particular, and he's willing to put everything on hold. And then all of a sudden, he overhears for a fact. He knows the truth that this woman really has her own significant other, and they're plotting that she should seduce the person that we're talking about because she wants to get his bank account information or whatever it is. And he knows this truth. Now, when he encounters the woman, the desire would take a back seat, right? That all of a sudden, the desire would totally fall out the window. It's not that he would now want to just jump in and put his business on hold and put everything on hold to get together with this woman. At that point, once a person really is tied into truth, then the desire itself will fall away. He'll become disgusted. He'll become disgusted with her, disgusted with himself. Can't believe that he was ever so stupid. Everything is going to ring hollow, right? Once a person is plugged into truth, other things fall away. And therefore, Rav Chaim Kramer's note says that Lashna Kodesh, which is the building blocks of the world, this subdues immorality because this subdues the evil in the language of all nations, which again, coming together, the factor that represents all of the desire is Neof, it's the sexual urge. He points out that the Mayan Achal says that we already suggested it because the way that one can subdue his lust is through marriage in Kedusha, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, and therefore by marrying an Isha, binding oneself, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, through Lashna Kodesh, through Halacha. So then when one binds Ish to Isha through marriage in this context of Lashna Kodesh, of the Torah, so then that subdues also the Taiva, this Taiva for lust. But be that as it may, this niuf is the haynu tav eiras hamedura shel taivas niuf shekol shivim lashon mishukana klulimbo, that the all of the desire for all the seven nations is kollel within taiva niuf neifelum is batal ve'en lo shlita ide lashon hakodesh through lashon hakodesh, like we're trying to explain, so that it all falls through lashon hakodesh, all of the taivas niuf, period. This is the idea of this fire of Shivim Koychavim. This means like the Shivim, the 70 nations. Every nation has a mazel, it has a star, it links up with some sort of a spiritual power. He's coming off of a quote in the Zohar. Nizkar b'Zohar HaKadosh, Hainu Hara HaKoylel, the Ra, the universal Ra, that's inclusive of the 70. Umayish Hu Taveiris HaMedura Shel Taivas Niyuf, it's this burning desire for lust. Shekol Hashivin Umayis Klulinbay, that all of the 70 nations, the 70 cultures, that each have their own individual distortion of reality, their own individual set of priorities and distorted truths, they are all really included within this universal idea, this desire, where everything takes a backseat to it. So now, Vizeh Bechinas Chashmal, the Pasuk by Yechezkel, by the Maaseh Merkava, says va'era v'hine, we might be somewhat familiar with it if anybody's seen the beginning of Tanya. So even in the very first parak already, when he starts talking about the three types of klipa, and then there's the fourth, is klipas noiga, and the shamas of the umos, and the shamas of klal Yisrael. So he references this as well. Va'era v'hine ruach sa'ara. There was a storm wind, ba'a min atzafon, coming from the north, anon gadol, a big cloud, ve'eshmis lakachas, a burning fire. So those would be like the three expressions of klipa, whatever this means, v'noiga loisaviv, and there was like a shining noiga around it, to mitoicha kein chashmal, and from within it there was a chashmal, mitoicha esh. Very, very obscure. Obscure pasuk. So I'm going to use Rav Chaim Kramer's note just for now, enough hopefully just that we can, you know, have a little bit of an idea. And again, as the Torah goes on, I think we're going to tie a lot of these concepts together. He quotes from Isaiah that says that at the end of the sixth day, there's a northern star that begins to burn brightly together with the other 70 stars, and it encompasses them. So this is going to be this idea of a fire that overwhelms, that comes to the where the first star becomes this fire that incorporates all of the other stars. And the Zohar continues that the sixth day, from what we just said, at the end of the sixth day, this star begins to burn brightly together. The sixth day, which, by the way, was on Erev Shabbos. This is the day of the Chet Rishon, the day that Adam and Chava were created. We've talked about that the Nachash wanted to be with Chava, etc. So he says that the sixth day represents Yesod. We always talk about Yesod. It's Adik Yesod Eilam. Yesod is Yosef, a control on Shmiras Habris. Again, we don't try to remember this. Don't try. We're really just saying a little bit Rashi Prakim, and hopefully we're going to be able to connect the dots. So, but in this context, we're talking about this taiva for niyaf, this sexual taiva being incorporating everything, and then we're going to link it together with this idea of chashmal, which is in the Maaseh Merkava. So we're just going to mention. So this idea, the sixth day, which is in the realm of Yesod, the Yesod through the spheres, Yesod is what is Kailal. If you would think about a funnel, the bottom of the funnel, all of the different spiritual energies from all of the spheres filter into the bottom through Yesod, right? Yesod is going to represent by Shmiras HaBris. That's where the place where there can be zivug. That's going to promote the yichud and the zivug, and where you're able to get together and have productivity, give over to be mailed things. So at that point where Yesod is going to give over the Shefa, it encounters these powers of Terma, these powers of Rav, Klipa, which want to take the Shefa for themselves. So at the sixth day, at that point, that's where there's this tremendous burning fire, which is going to be the Niaf, where all of a sudden, when a person finally is going to be productive, give over the Shefa in the right direction, all of a sudden, that's where there's going to be a tremendous burning desire that's going to try to redirect it. And the 70 stars, he says, correspond to the 70 nations and their spiritual forces, their mazalos, their guardian angels, the kaychavim, right? We said shivim kaychavim, which unite to try to stand up against the kedusha of Yisrael. And this is ultimately right before the onset of the first Shabbos, when the 6 days are going to go forward into Shabbos. Again, ideas far beyond us. The Rav Chaim Kramer further discusses the terms in the Pesukim by Yecheskel as representing the forces of Klipa, relating them to like an Arla that's trying to hold back the Shefa, the productivity from going forward. But if the Noiga is able to attach itself to the Chashmal, so that's something that's going to subdue all these forces of Klipa. If this makes no sense, that's okay. We just put it in our back pocket for now and forget about it. But little by little, just attaining some sort of a familiarity of, you know, something, some of these things that come up, so that we will start making sense out of it. But our most important thing is to try to relate to these concepts for our avoda, for where we are. Better to do something right and truthful and understand it where we are than to, you know, with a little bit of a taste of something, you know, right beyond where we are, than to get confused in things that we just don't have a basis to integrate and have any real understanding, so that we're just going to read in our understanding to it. Okay, so back. V'zeh b'chinas. So this idea, what Yecheskel saw by the Navi, by the Ma'aser Merkava, of a chashmal, what do Chazal say? Chayos eish mimalalois. That Rashi says, k'shehen medabros eish yoytze midibura, and they are fire-speaking creatures. We don't know what it means. What is this kavana? Chayos eish b'chinas chava Isha. So Chayos Eish, which is Chash and Mal. Chash is a representative of, because Chayos, we said, is Lashon of Chava, of speaking. Eish is Lashon of Isha. Hainu Bechinas Lashon HaKadosh Kanal. We said that Chava is Lashon of Dibor. And this idea, it's representative of Lashon HaKadosh. Memalalais Sha'al Yado, that through Lashon HaKadosh, Mismalal Umishtaber Eish Hamedura Shel Shivim Kaychavim. Like we tried to explain, that there's the Shivim Kochavim, there's the Arla, there's the Klipa that's trying to hold back the productivity, the positive, the Noiga from attaching itself to MS. But however, when the Chashmal, through Lashon HaKadosh, Chava, Isha, that's Chash, Chayos and Eish, through Lashon HaKadosh, through attaching ourselves to this idea of total MS, like we've been saying, that's where the Klipa is able to be subdued. V'zeh b'chinas, we're going to have to take stock a little bit of where we're holding in a second, so we're not totally lost. V'zeh b'chinas, this idea, mal, chash and mal, right? So mal, mem is 40 and lamed is 70 in gematria, that's 70. Zeh b'chinas, mal, mei chash mal. Shem b'chinas, medura shel shivim kechavim, that chash, which is representative of Lashon HaKadosh, is able to subdue mal, that's the antidote, that's the counter to the fire of the 70, so that Lashon HaKadosh can negate the 70. What's the taiva that's koil of the 70? That's niuf. Lashon HaKadosh is the is what's able to counter that. Shenis malel, Vishnizbatil, Lashon of Mal is destructive, to crush. Nismalal, Vinizbatil, Ide Lashon HaKadosh, that's able to be crushed and subdued through Lashon HaKadosh, Ki Al Shem Zeh Nikra, Lashon HaKadosh. That's why it's Lashon HaKadosh, that it's able to be Meshaber, it's able to break the Taiva of Niuf. Ki Kol Mokom Sha Atamaitse Geder Ervas Erva Atamaitse Kedusha. Erva and Kedusha counter each other. Really, it's based on a Rashi. really bring a medrash. The medrash says that Rav Yehuda ben Pazi says Minimanis Mahaparshas Arayas Laparshas Kedoshim, and it teaches us that Elalamedcha Shakom Mokom Shat Amaitse by Geder Erva Tamaitse Kedusha, that Kedusha is where there's a Geder, there's boundaries around Erva Vaasi Kadad. Rav Yehuda ben Pazi Damra Kolmishu Geder Atzman Erva Nikra Kedosh Nikra Kadosh. So Kedusha is setting boundaries, is the one that overwhelms this type of Erva of Niyuf. And again, see, Hashem Nikra Lashon Kadosh, Lashon Kodesh, Kedusha is the opposite of this type of a taiva of a rayas. Ki kol makom shat amaitze geder erva, amaitze kedusha. Vizet Shapirish Rashi Al Kenyazov Ish as Aviv's Imo Vidovak Beishto. That's why Rashi's explaining. It says Lizosi Kare Isha, but it's not, the next words are not a continuation, but rather it's Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is really Lashon HaKodesh, we're gonna say, but rather comes Ruach HaKodesh and says Al Kinyazov Ishus of Vesimo, he leaves his family, leaves the idea of Arias, Vidavak Beishto, and engages only with his wife, with Kedusha Mikan Net Sheneser Lehem Arias. Ruach HaKodesh Omeres Kain. This is Ruach HaKodesh, that tells it to us. Ruach HaKodesh Hainu Lashon HaKodesh, which is Nirmaz in the word Isha. Kemai, because, right, what did we say? Al Kain Yazav Ishus Aviv Esimo V'Davak Beishto. He should be davak in Lashon HaKodesh, and he should be davak in with his isha, with his wife, and leave Arayis. Kemay Uberuach Piv Kol Tzvam. Like we explained, that the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh, and the pasuk over here calls Beruach Piv. It's referring to Ruach Piv. This is where we say Ruach HaKodesh is the same as Lashon HaKodesh. So when we say that, the Medrash says that comes Ruach HaKodesh and tells this to us, really it's representative of Lashon HaKodesh. So Ruach Piv, with the wind of his mouth, he created. So we see that Ruach and Lashon are the same. And this Ruach leaves the Peh with Dibur Shalidei Lashon HaKodesh Neser V'Neskasher Taiva Shal Taivas Niyuf. So it's Lashon HaKodesh that's able to bind, to able to put the Gedarim around the Taiva for Niyuf, for Arayas, Hainu Hamadura Shel Shivim Koychavim, which is the Madura of the 70 nations, Shein Lo Shlita Al Yisrael, Haidei Lashon HaKodesh, Bebechinus Lashon Neifel Lashon, Kana, like we explained, Sheruach Shtos, we say that a person doesn't sin unless he's encompassed by Ruach Shtos. Ruach Shtos is really a taiva for Niyaf, Nesbatel Al Yidei Ruach HaKodesh. Maybe we'll just go a drop weiter, and then we're going to, stop. So, really, just to take stock of where we're holding, so we're not totally lost. We started off with a statement from Sifat Tzniusa, gave a little introduction, put that aside. Then we started with a question why a person should go to a tzaddik. We said that the experience of encountering the tzaddik is not, it's totally different in, you know, qualitatively from going to the tzaddik's talmidim or to going to somebody who heard from a tzaddik, and certainly from reading in books. And this idea of encountering a tzaddik really can shine out what a person should do in terms of his own avodas. Then we said, well, how does a person reach this level of a tzaddik, or reach where his face is totally clear for that? So he said, through Lashon HaKodesh. Why? And this is where we started going into it, the idea of Lashon HaKodesh being the ultimate in truth and the building blocks of the world, and the counter to the ultimate inclusive idea of taiva that incorporates all of the other forces. The taiva of Niyaf incorporates all of the other cultures, all the other peoples, all the other nations, any other distortions. And Lashon HaKodesh, Chashma, Lashon HaKodesh, Chava, Isha, this is what is able to overtake Mal, the 70 nations, and this is where we're going in terms of how a person gets to this level of being a tzaddik, of being able to reflect this. Vizeh, we'll do one more idea. Actually, we're not. We're going to stop it over here, and then Be'ezus Hashem, we will continue. We'll continue next time. Okay. Wow. Right. I don't know that I didn't get as far as I thought I might have, but I think that we accomplished a tremendous amount, and hopefully it'll lay the basis for going forward and being able to put together a lot of these pieces.